Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 119, of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her nutrition, especially during the holidays. Before we start the episode, just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this wonderful podcast we're going to do. Why? Because I read these things and I'd love to hear from you, so please do it. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
All right, you know what I'm talking about here. It's holiday eating. You know, it's Thanksgiving and all the stuff starting there and all the way through Christmas and back and forth. Oh, I know, and a lot of you throw up your hands in despair saying, I am not going to survive this because I'm going to end up caving to the craving and making a royal mess of the whole damn thing. So, who is going to rescue us? Well, there's only one person to do that, and that's Chef Abby Gelman. She is our go-to professionally trained chef and registered dietitian with 10 years of hospitality and food and beverage consulting experience and 10 years of nutrition-related experience. Good Lord, there's no one better than you, Chef Abby. Help us.
Yay. I love being here as always.
Oh, my goodness. How are we going to navigate holiday meals? Now, you said something about swapping out some traditional foods for things that are a little bit better for us and how to deal with those holiday buffets. So, all right. Let's just start with the nightmare of the party. How would you have someone already geared up and prepped up not to screw this up?
It's hard, right? So first thing is, you know, baby steps. It's a massive minefield out there during party season. So one thing I always like to say is prep beforehand. So you can drink a lot of water. You can have a healthy meal. You can have a yogurt. You can have some hummus and, carrot sticks. You can have some things before you go so you don't show up someplace starving. And you can also bring a dish, right? So a lot of times we bring hostess gifts or we are asked to bring something with us to, you know, an hors d'oeuvre, an appetizer, a potluck type of thing maybe. So you can kind of control that in some respects and bring food with you. So that's just kind of like the planning before you get there part.
Well, I always say that if you're going to eat something ahead of time to help control, you know, the nutty cravings and stuff that happen, make sure you've got fat in it, healthy fat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of my easiest things, I just grab a nut butter. I'm a peanut butter girl, just organic, full fat. And I just seriously just grab a tablespoon or so. And it just shuts me up. You know, what else could we do like that?
So you can have nut butter or hummus, both really great sources of healthy fat and some protein. If you want a little bit something, you can have an apple with that too. You can have a cheese stick, anything like that to kind of keep things in check. Also, make sure that the game plan, you're not going to go straight for the booze necessarily. Make sure that you're not, that you're having water, that you're staying hydrated, and that you're not drinking too much too quickly in the adult beverage set, because that's also when our judgment kind of goes out the window too. So really,
and women are cheap dates too, because the grand majority of women, Chef Abby, we have talked about this so many times, women lack enough of the enzyme alcohol dehydrogenase that helps us break down alcohol. So it hangs around much longer, which means that, you know, after one drink, it could be wine, you know, liquor, whatever it is. I mean, that Hummer's still buzzing around in you versus the guy next to you. And it just kind of went right through his liver and we call it a day. He's getting a small buzz and you're on the floor, which basically means you're making really stupid decisions here. And now all of a sudden you're going to let it rip. And, you know, now there you have it. So, you know, the alcohol thing is a big problem, especially with all the eggnog things that are sitting around and, you know, a lot of those things, right?
Yeah. Well, I like to say to people, too, whether you're in a party atmosphere or in a restaurant, stay away from things like creamy, fried, you know, anything that's battered that could have a lot of extra fat and breading and, you know, cream and heavy things in it, and look for grilled and broiled. So instead of having, you know, like a spinach artichoke dip, which probably has a ton of cheese in it and probably some heavy cream, look for like guacamole or salsa with some crudite. Or instead of like a baked brie type thing, just have some fruit with like a couple pieces of cheese. Think about how to simplify and really try to be logical about it and think things through, a little bit of a game plan before you even get there and are overwhelmed by, you know, food and people and just, you know, the scene of wherever you happen to be.
Yeah, I think people get really lost in that, but I'm going to emphasize once again, healthy fat, okay?
Yes.
And in a way that where you don't really overeat it. You know, it's a little hard to kind of, I mean, I know it's definitely done daily, but it's really hard to kind of overeat a lot of the nut butters because they sink to the bottom of your stomach and you're like, oh my God,
they're very
right?
rich. Yeah, absolutely.
But so nuts can get you in trouble.
Well,
but you have to be careful about that because of portions.
Yeah, exactly. So like a small handful, like less than 10. Try to keep that as your tipping point, essentially, if you have like actual nuts, for example. Go with wine and beer if you are going to have an alcoholic beverage. Cocktails are usually very sugary and can have a lot of extra calories in that way.
All right. So now you're going to put on your own party. Okay. And, you know, and you're saying to yourself, I want it to be festive and lovely for everybody. At the same time, I don't want it to look like some vegan affair or something.
No, there's so many good options, you know.
Like what?
Lovely, even if you have a buffet. So you could have, we talked about guacamole and salsa, things like that. You can have shrimp cocktail. There's so many good different seafood-based appetizers and dishes that, you know, seafood has so much healthy fat, so much good protein, and you can do a lot with it that does not involve, you know, much cooking really in any way. You can poach shrimp and have like a simple dipping sauce or no dipping sauce at all. You can have kebabs are also good, like a chicken kebab with like a peanut dipping sauce, you know, things like that that you're grilling, you're broiling. For dessert, you don't need cookies and cream puffs and cake and all that stuff. You can have a beautiful like mixed berry fruit table that comes with mascarpone or whipped cream, or, you know, people can make their own little thing. You don't need heavy, heavy sugary treats. You can make a chocolate bark. So you melt some chocolate and maybe put some pomegranate seeds in there. That looks beautiful. And one little piece is, you know, a little dab will do you. You don't need a whole ton of that. You can put some nuts in there.
Now, what kind of chocolate?
I like dark chocolate, and you're not adding any sugar to this. So if you get a really nice 70% cacao dark chocolate, there's really no sugar in that. It's very minimal. And then you essentially just melt it and mix it with pomegranate seeds, for example, and then you lay it out on like a little baking sheet, and you put it in the fridge for an hour, and then you break it up into little pieces. There you go. That's, you know, really nice dessert. No, it's not crazy. No one's going to eat the whole baking sheet of chocolate. You have like a little 1-inch portion, and then you have a bowl of mixed berries with a, you know, a tablespoon, a spoonful of whipped cream. Perfect. Good. You know, it's all about portion size and keeping sugar low, but flavor high, different colors, keeping people interested, and, you know, making it festive in a non, heavy way, I guess.
Now, how do you sweeten without using refined sugar? So give us some ideas. I mean, people have been talking about dates and, you know, all of this.
So fruit puree is one really easy way. So, you know, you just take a blender or even a pan on the stove and you put, you know, a bag of frozen raspberries, for example, in there, and you just heat them up. You barely need any sweetener at all. You can even use just a teaspoon of honey or maple syrup. You probably don't even ever need to take out any kind of powdered sugar or any kind of sugar product other than like a honey or a maple syrup. And you just heat it up and you can either leave it chunky or you can zip it up in a blender. And then you have a fruit sauce that goes well on, you know, anything. Or, you know, you can use the dates we just talked about. But my go-to is usually fruit puree and a very teeny tiny amount of honey.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so a small amount of honey. And then, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, what about stevia? You know, the
right.
herbal sweetener. And, you know, because clearly you don't want to be using anything other than something that or monk fruit. So
yeah.
What's the difference? And do those work too?
So stevia, if you try to bake with it, it's very, very sweet. And the consistency doesn't always work. So some of that takes some trial and error, and the flavor doesn't necessarily come out. It's easier to kind of swap out and put in half the amount of sugar or even a third the amount of sugar and do it in the form of honey and, you know, dried fruit even. You know, you can make a muffin, cut out most of the sugar, put some honey and some dried fruit in there or some blueberries or something like that, and you're good to go.
Now, what about using like carrots and beets and that type of vegetable that has sweetness to it? Does that work?
Oh, yeah, that works too. Yeah, absolutely, especially if you're roasting something or baking it, because as it cooks, it will get sweeter, just the natural sweetness, the natural sugar in those vegetables will kind of caramelize and become less earthy and more sweet when you do it in an oven, for example. So you can make carrot muffins or something that has carrot or beet puree in it that comes off as sweet, but it really is just pureed beets, you know, in a pancake or in a muffin or a cupcake, anything like that. And especially with the beets, it adds a beautiful color. So you could make anything look pretty and festive just by putting pureed beets in it, and it would naturally add a sweetness as well.
Excellent. So, you know, there's hope out there for people who want to make sure to still get a little bit of sweetness to a lot of their, you know, holiday fare. Without having to, you know, end up eating basically, you know, just something that's incredibly bland and boring.
Right.
What about going through some of the classic things, like, for instance, oh boy, raise your hand if you like stuffing. What could we do about stuffing? You know, because this comes up at all the holiday meals, whether it's Thanksgiving or around Christmas time or so. So what's the best way to be able to put something together that just, it's the best, but it's not something that's so ridiculously heavy that it kind of kills the fun?
Yeah. Well, stuffing is a hard one because there's so much bread in it. So what I usually do is cut the bread in half, like the amount of bread, that would be in any regular recipe, I would immediately cut it in half, and I would use something from a bakery that's a nice, nutty, hearty, whole grain bread. So then you're working with more nutrition and a better mouthfeel and just a better product to begin with. I also like to add fruit to my stuffing. So you can put apples in there, pears in there, things like that. And it becomes, and I focus on more of a, like a chunky stuffing that has texture rather than a bready stuffing. So you can add chestnuts in there. You can add mushrooms in there. You can add celery or fennel, onion, garlic, lots of fruits and vegetables for texture and flavor. And then, you know, cut the bread in half. You know, use herbs, thyme, sage, rosemary, all of that stuff amps up the flavor. And I like to add in maybe an egg and some kind of chicken stock or vegetable stock, depending, you know, if you want to make it vegetarian, just use vegetable stock. And then you bake it all together and it becomes, you know, 75% veg and 25% bread. And the bread that is in there is a nice, filling, hearty bread. So you're really getting, you know, your stuffing fix, but it's a healthier take on the traditional, you know, very bread heavy, sometimes sausage and all that. Just skip all of that meat part and try to make it mostly vegetables. And I promise you it'll come out beautifully and you bake it and it's gorgeous.
Do you cook with butter? What is your feeling about butter? Because, so, you know, butter shows up in most of these recipes.
I generally don't cook with butter. I save butter if I get butter, I buy a really beautiful homemade butter from the farmer's market or like a really nice, not artisan butter, but like a good tasting butter. And I reserve that for, you know, putting on bread if I have a roll or something at a holiday meal. Or at home, I save it for, you know, if I have popcorn on a Sunday night with my daughter, we put butter on the popcorn. But I never, ever cook with it for any like appetizer, entree, dessert, never, because I find that it, you can overdo it with the butter and you don't really need it. You can use so many different beautiful oils, from avocado oil to olive oil or all sorts of stuff. And then you can also use vegetable purees. You can use yogurt. You can use nut butter and nut puree, all of these other interesting textures and thickeners and ways to add fat and flavor without just throwing butter in everything.
Huh. All right. So there's a role for butter, literally. That was a little play on words there. But, you know, seriously, I look at it exactly the way you do, which is it's an absolute delight to have a superb butter with an incredible piece of bread or roll or something like that that you're having with your meal, whatever it may be. I just find that to be just delicious. And like you, I use the oils instead of butter and cooking, because, you know, I mean, it's also healthier too, quite frankly.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the butter obviously has saturated fat, and the oils, generally speaking, have so many other health benefits. So I think that works too. What about doing something wonderful with squash and pumpkin? That would taste just fabulous. You know, so oft times I've seen squash-like dishes literally drowned in maple syrup.
Yeah.
And the like. What would you do with some of those dishes?
Well, squash is great. Any kind of winter squash, so butternut, acorn, kombucha, you know, delicata. There are so many interesting different kinds of squashes. And when you roast them, they also become naturally sweet. So it's, you know, there's a few things you can do depending on what you want. But the easiest thing to do is get a squash, cut it in half, scrape out the seeds and just roast it with some olive oil, salt, and pepper, and it will naturally sweeten up. So once it's roasted, you can serve it like that. You can scoop out the flesh and mash it up. You don't need to add any butter or anything to it. If anything, you could add cinnamon or nutmeg or some warming spices. You can take the squash and put it with some broth and other spices and make a nice soup. And you, if you want to thicken it at all, you don't need to use cream. You can use yogurt. Is a wonderful thickener for a nice creamy soup, and that adds protein and texture without adding all the extra fat that would be in a heavy cream. Those are probably my favorite ways to do any kind of winter squash. It's just like the beets and the carrots, it gets naturally sweet on its own when you roast it.
I know, and it tastes so good. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Well, all right.
So easy,
and
too.
So then people raise their hands and they say, okay, I want to do a gluten-free turkey dinner,
okay?
Or, you know, a holiday dinner. How do they approach that? Because maybe the majority of the people there are just freaking out about gluten for whatever reason.
Yep, that's pretty common too. And the good thing about gluten-free is if you cook, it's actually pretty straightforward. So instead of a bread-based stuffing, you could do a wild rice stuffing. Nobody ever said that you have to have bread and stuffing. Just use wild rice or some kind of wild rice mix instead. You can, potatoes are gluten-free, so anything you do with any kind of vegetable, whether it's a starchy vegetable like a potato or a sweet potato or a green vegetable or a squash, that's all, they're vegetables, so they're gluten-free. All of that's a go. Any kind of fruit, so you could have baked apples with nuts and dried fruit and cinnamon and nutmeg in it, and then you don't even have to worry about like a pie or cookies or cake. You just do a fruit forward dessert, meat, turkey, all of that kind of stuff, as long as you can leave it just au jus. You don't ever need to really make a gravy, so there would be no need for flour at all if you left it like that. Or if you do want to make more of a gravy, if you're making a turkey, then you can get gluten-free flour. You don't need a whole lot, and you can make your gravy with that. So overall, there's a lot of different options. You just have to steer clear from most, wheat-based bread and some things like that. But there's a lot of great swap outs for sure.
And they all taste good too. I mean, it doesn't feel
you're
having some kind of weird deprivation kind of dinner or something, but they taste good.
As long as you cook. Yeah. As long as it's just, I feel like it's with whatever kind of diet restriction you may be on for whatever reason, if you cook or you're going to a place where the meal or the food is being homemade and you're not getting processed items or trying to go to, a restaurant, generally pretty easy to fall within certain parameters, because that's why it's healthier when you cook for all reasons. It's just you control what's in the food, you control how much of the butter or the oil or the vegetables, you have more control over what you're eating, and it becomes a much healthier process just as a result.
All right, so now the final challenge.
Yeah,
the holiday dinner dessert.
All right.
So everyone's waiting for their pie and, the ice cream that goes with it and all the rest of it. So what's your swap out?
So let's see. One thing I really like, which no matter how many times people have said boo when they hear it, from kids to adults when they see it and taste it, it's always they want more of it, is baked apples. It's so easy. You just core them and you put nuts and fruit, dried fruit in there and some spices, and you bake them. You don't even need to put honey or maple syrup on them at all. You don't need any sweetener at all. And then everyone has their own little compact dessert, and everyone loves it every single time.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
It works great. If people are worried about the ice cream or things like that, then you could try to find a really good quality ice cream. So less than 5 ingredients, or a really good quality frozen yogurt, or a sorbet or something like that that has low sugar, and then just keep the portions small. You can make homemade whipped cream. I never put sugar in my whipped cream. I literally just take heavy whipping cream and whip it, and that's it. And, you know, you only need like a spoonful, a tablespoon or something, and that makes everything taste richer. And, you know, portions go a long way. You don't need all the sugar, and you don't need plates and plates and plates of food. You just need, you know, a little bit. If you eat half your dessert, let's say, and you put the rest away, I'm pretty sure most people are going to eventually, like, they might want that other half later, but they're going to feel better. They're not going to be so stuffed. They're not going to be, you know, feeling awful or feel bad because they overate, or just have uncomfortableness because they overate and their body is, you know, rebelling against how much food they ate. So, you know, portion size, keeping it low sugar, keeping it kind of, you know, not trying not to overdo it if possible.
I love it. Well, I'm hungry already just listening to all this. And once again, we've been talking to Chef Abby Gelman. Learn more about her wonderful work at culinarynutritioncuisine.com. That's culinarynutritioncuisine.com. Chef Abby Gelman to the rescue on how to handle holiday eating by swapping out foods and always being helpful with how to be able to make things so ridiculously tasty and delicious, but not nasty and junky and gooey. And I just love it. Thank you once again, Chef Abby Gelman. Chef Abby, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And everyone out there in her podcast land, remember to catch every episode of her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And then after, just take a couple seconds here, rate and review this wonderful podcast we just did with Chef Abby on holiday eating and how to be able to rein it in well and navigate all those challenges. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.